Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
Due to the pandemic, we bring you One Bad Mother straight from our homes, including such interruptions as children, animal noises, and more. So let's all get a little closer while we have to be so far apart. And remember, we are doing a good job. This week on One Bad Mother, you are not alone because your college-age kid is living in your basement. We talk to author and co-host of the podcast Tiny Victories, Annabelle Gurwitch. Plus, Biz has something lurking in her pantry.
Woo! Colin with a check-in. I have a cheesecake in the oven, which is like, I'm feeling pretty good about that. A little context and backstory to my cheesecake, though. I did actually buy my graham cracker crust, like a pre-made graham cracker crust, back in March or April. I think it was early on in like the lockdown, and I was panic shopping at the grocery store and grabbing whatever I could grab off the shelves, and I saw a graham cracker crust and thought, oh, I can make a cheesecake, like, since we'll be home. And I bought it, and I've never made a cheesecake before, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. And it's now October, like end of October, so however many weeks and months it's been, that crust has like been sitting there on my counter for this whole time. And it's taking me this long to get all of the ingredients in the house at the same time, which is like not that many ingredients, you guys. It's like cream cheese, eggs, sugar, and vanilla. I think that's it. Like, that's it. But yeah, to have all four of those at the same time in the right quantities, it's just taken me a little while. But I did it. So yeah, like I have a cheesecake in the oven right now, and I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job today. And so are you. Thanks for the show, guys. Bye.
Wow. I love you. I really like the fact that, well, hey, you're doing a very good job. Just the fact that you have a cheesecake in your oven. And I'm assuming that means you're not pregnant. She's got a cheesecake in the oven. Anyway, why is it a bun? It could be a cheesecake or like a strudel. Anyway, the fact that when the pandemic began in terms of shutting things down in March, that you thought, I need this graham cracker crust pie crust because I'm going to make a cheesecake during this very short pandemic that we're about to have. And now it's 9 months later, maybe more. I don't know. I don't use time anymore. And you're just now making the cheesecake. This is so symbolic, I think, of like everything, of all of us. The beginning of the pancake. Guys, let me try that again. The beginning of the pandemic. I'm going to start, you know, making bread, or I'm going to start, you know, canning things. I'll start a garden. I'm going to make a cheesecake. I bet I'm going to whatever it was. We all have things still sitting in our pantry that we have not pulled out or put in the oven. So I think you're remarkable. And I think that was a really good check-in that you just gave me. And I wish I had cheesecake in my oven. I don't. I would have probably just eaten the graham cracker crust pie shell. I would have done that. That is delicious to me. Guys, what's also delicious to me is thank yous. And it's time for the One Bad Mother thank yous. Sorry about that, guys. All right. Thank you, healthcare workers. You are amazing. You are essential. You are neck deep in it right now as this second surge is growing. And I know that so many of you are now in places where things are really out of control, and you are not getting a lot of downtime, and you are faced with some very difficult things that you have to witness every single day and night. And I really appreciate that you are there. And I really want to say thank you to everyone who supports the medical industry, whether it is data entry, whether it is janitorial services, supplies, shipments, all of it. All of it is needed to make it all work. And like so many things, sometimes we only see one part of it and we kind of stop thinking about it there when the experience we're having is tied to roots that go much deeper. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to, I'm never going to stop thanking the Postal Service. Thank you for all you did during the election. Woo-hoo! And for continuing to deliver my mail. That's great. Thank you to teachers. You are really doing a good job. Wow. It's too much. And, oh God, I just could go on forever about teachers, but I'm going to stop now. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone who is out there listening to the experts, believing in science, taking care of themselves and others. This isn't just about taking care of you. It is about protecting those around you that you know and that you don't know. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being kind. You're all doing a really good job. I also have something lurking in my pantry. She just made me think of this. I don't have a lot going on, guys. This is definitely one of those weeks where if you were to say, what'd you do this week? I'd be like, I have no idea. Has a week passed? I don't know. Didn't I just record yesterday? I don't know, guys, what has happened in the last week. We're all still here, as is a can of Trader Joe black olives that I can't even remember the recipe, but I was going to put those in. And why I thought like canned olives might be better than like fresh. I don't live like in a place where there are no olives. They're out. Like, if I, you know, any place I go to get a can of olives probably has an olive bar, be it safe or not, or a fresher option for olives. But they sit there in like the very back corner and just waiting for me to use them. And I refuse to get rid of them. I will come up with something to do with these olives, guys, sometime before the pandemic is over, which means I got lots of time. Speaking of lots of times, it's really easy to feel that you are alone right now. It's very isolating. But good news, you're not alone, because there's a good chance you've got kids in your house and they're also not allowed to leave the house. Or better yet, your college age kid is living in your basement. And I think that's going to tie in nicely to what we're going to talk about today with Annabelle Gerwich of the podcast Tiny Victories.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
This week, we are welcoming Annabelle Gerwich, who is the author of I See You Made an Effort, a New York Times bestseller and Thurber Prize finalist. Wherever you go, there you are. You say tomato, I say shut up. And fired. She was the longtime host of Dinner and a Movie on TBS, a regular NPR contributor, and has written for The New Yorker, The New York Times, The Los Angeles Times, The Wall Street Journal, and Hadassah. Her new book, You're Leaving When?, comes out in March 2021, and she also co-hosts the podcast Tiny Victories on the Maximum Fun Podcast Network. Welcome, Annabelle.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Not only welcome to the show, but welcome to the Max Fun family.
Thank you. I've been stalking Jesse Thorne and Max Fun for years. And finally, I wore them down with my tiny podcast. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's a tiny show. It's 15 minutes or less, where I like to say we're trying to give people reasons to get from their night pajamas into their day pajamas.
It It is spectacular. I have enjoyed all three of the very first episodes that are out, and we will talk about that more. But first, I want to ask you, well, we ask all our guests, who lives in your house?
I am currently sharing my home with my offspring, 22 years old, recent college graduate, COVID class of 2020. They are living the dream. Back at home in a childhood bedroom, living with mom. Can't go out anywhere. No place to go. Can't get a job. Nothing happening in town. We're just so, it's so much fun.
Is
We're
it great? Having,
oh,
it's so great.
It's
you are so lucky. You are so lucky.
It is so awful.
You know what's so funny? We have yet had the opportunity to talk to somebody in this particular setup, and I'm very excited to make some sweet bean assumptions.
Okay,
all right. Yep. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to assume they love seeing you every day, and they come up and they're like making you breakfast, and they're like, Mom, let me do your laundry. How's that? Is that good? Am I on it? That's one. That's assumption one. Stop. Something's wrong with Annabelle.
Okay. I was laughing, but then that turned to tears. Yeah. I'm gonna just say, I too had this fantasy that when my kid came home, their preferred pronouns are they, them, theirs. Mm-hmm. So Ezra would come home and be like, hey, Mom, I want to do these chores around the house, you know, and, you know, you've taken care of me. No. Okay. So let me just say, within 1 week of their arrival back at home, it was like so obvious that this was really difficult that I decided I needed to go on vacation. So I packed my overnight bag. I went downstairs, locked myself in the guest bedroom and said, there's no one here by the name Mom. And then Ezra would like yell, Mom, do we have turkey in the house? I don't know. I'm on vacation. Mom, the sink's not working. You'll figure it out. I'm on vacation. Finally, I got this knock on the door, like a timid knock, like tentative Mom. And I was like, oh, is it turn down service? My hotel here? Yeah. Ezra opens the door, gives me a hug and says, Mom, you're the best mom in the whole world. And I think you're having a psychotic break. I'm really worried about you. But then we ended up, I thought of a way for us to end up like working out some of our aggression, some of this like mom rage pandemic stuff.
Yeah, let's just stop. I want to just take this quick break because I really want to be there with you. And that's like, basically, I know if from my own personal experiences of many, many college attempts and various roaming about and being 22 at some point, that was probably not a time in which I was checking in a lot. And I knew a lot about everything, by the way, and I was really with it. And so to suddenly, like, the idea of being home suddenly after college, like after being a full-on grown person, that, like, there's a whole level of adjustment of, like, how you see each other, right? Like,
well, right? It goes from, like, small issues to large issues. Yeah. So first of all, I don't know if you know the lingo.
I probably don't.
Young people know. But, like, I'll come out in public, you know, like in public these days means in the living room.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm going to the public square, my living room. And Ezra will say, Mom, what's with your drip? Okay, that means
my drip.
Your outfit. How's my drip? Means
I'm like what's your... Do you think I'm on my period right now? Get out of my house. No, I'm like, how's my drip?
How's, other language, which is like, you know, like, Mom, the drip. So it's like everything I wear is visually offensive. Like I have committed a crime against sight.
Okay.
Like, because I have clothes on because my kid wears sort of like a marshmallow shapeless being, like a sci-fi version of, like, I don't know if you saw that movie where it was like the aliens came to Earth, but they were like kind of like jellyfish. What was it called? Arrival.
Oh, yes. Arrival. You know, okay.
Like formless funk. That's what my child looks like. So, and if I wear things that resemble clothes, I just get this, like, so first of all, the judgment is hideous. Mm. And then there's like the hygienically challenged part of it. Like, like, I have different standards than a 22-year-old.
Oh, do you think yours are higher or lower at this stage of the pandemic?
First of all, variable. However, like, in the bathroom, I don't want to wade through a sea of hair.
No.
Like, that is not my goal. No, right. But 22-year-olds don't notice this stuff. Mm-hmm. They just don't see it. And then, things like, okay, they have the responsibility of taking the garbage out. The garbage comes. I mean, I take nothing for granted. I'm so thrilled. The garbage actually gets picked up on Thursdays at like 7 a.m. So usually they wait till 6:59 a.m. to put it out, which means I am stressing out because we're home so much. We have so much stuff. It's
you
like,
also have lots of opportunities to take the trash out before 6:59. It's not like you're coming in late from work.
Yes, no, it absolutely has to wait the last minute. I mean, this week, sure enough, I'm exaggerating. It was 6:58.
Oh, you're a monster.
And I just went out, I'm like, I'm fucking doing it myself. So I'm outside. All of a sudden, Ezra streaks out in their underwear. Yes. You know, and by the way, it's light out.
Light now.
You know, so other neighbors are out doing it too. And there they are like, oh, I'm going to help you with that, Mom. Oh, thanks. Thanks, half-naked person who's, you know, destroyed. Oh, thank you. So helpful. Really appreciate it. So, you know, it's just like sort of an – and then it's just like they just don't want to be like – you know, it's too much contact. The whole point was they were going to come home. That was the plan. Come home, save money. But they never anticipated being in the house so much.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. But I have to ask.
Yes.
Because it sounds like such an opportunity now that they are old. You know, like when you have younger kids and you kind of want to fuck with them. Like, you know, now I grew up in a house where my parents... there were no limits to the weird stuff that would be completely unacceptable now. But now I was like, I got one kid a little sensitive. I got another one is this, right? And then, but now that kid is 22, that kid's sturdy. That kid's you could really mess with this kid now. Like you could walk, like for the fact, if he's constantly complaining about your clothes, you could just come out naked and say, is this good? And then like, right? Like, tell me you're having fun.
First of all, let me just say, you're talking to someone who for the first maybe 15 years of my kid's life, I tried to convince them that the cat was their sister who had gotten stuck in a Halloween costume and the zipper had grown over.
And to 15, that's pretty impressive.
Well, the thing was they were like a complete stoner at 15. They are a sober person now, but at 15, you would think it would have stopped. But because of the sort of weed habit at that moment, there were moments when they just really wondered whether or not it was true. But when they were really little, I would catch Ezra looking for the zipper on the cat. It just goes. I wrote about some of those stories in another one of my books. But at this point, I can't really say we're having but let me just say there are a couple things that are highlights. For one thing is I have a big backyard, and when they were little, we played every day after school kickball. Right? Mm-hmm. This kickball went on for years. But when they were coming home from college, I got a badminton net. Badminton is the best. It's so stupid.
But we're not even been playing it with a net. Like, I just, we had some like birdies laying around, and then I was like, I'm going to get these badminton, you know, and like we literally have two rackets and some badmintons. And since the pandemic began, my daughter, who's 11, and I go out and we just hit it at each other. And now it's like morphed into the most competitive, like she'll hit it just right at my feet and she'll be like, that counts. And I'll be like, oh yeah, well then this counts. And then like I hit it like as hard as I can. So it's very therapeutic. It is so much fun.
It is so much fun. I also think it's fun because, I mean, I know that there are actually like competitive badminton teams, but basically you can't do right or wrong. It's just fun.
Yes. So
that has been fun. And also they played for so long with their friends that there's like holes in the backyard, like they dug through the grass. And so I really wanted to, you know, like provide that. And then actually we recorded an episode of Tiny Victories. It hasn't aired yet, about I took Ezra, we went to a smash room or a rage room. Have you heard of those?
I've heard of those. Are those available during the pandemic?
Okay. It is pandemic entertainment. They still are open because when you go, you have to be covered head to toe. You wear a face shield and gloves. And so, you know, you can put a mask on. It's like kind of like, well, it was made for this. So you go to this place, and there's a place like where I drove out to like the hinterlands, you know, on the edges of Los Angeles. Get to this place, and it's like a pawn shop in the front. Like there are all these items that you can smash. And like vases and plates and mugs. There's like a keep calm and carry on mug. I'm like, ooh,
I want that one.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
And we went in, we were issued baseball bats, and I think it was a tire iron. I don't know. Yes. I've never really seen a tire iron. So, and then we went into a room and we smashed things. And, you know, I'm not going to say it was like we changed anything in the world, but it was satisfying.
That
I'm not going to lie.
That is satisfying.
It was.
Let's pretend that this is a show that helps people. Was there anything that you guys actually figured out as a way to survive any of this? I mean,
Oh boy. You know, not really.
Okay.
I'm gonna be really honest. I would like to tell you that we have, but first of all, one thing I think is really important. If you have an open plan style house where, you know, you have like rooms that sort of like just move into, get out of there now.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
The only thing that saves our life is like doors.
Yeah.
You know, having doors and like just being able to shut the door. And also there is something that I really do believe in, and that is low expectations.
Yes.
If you lower your expectations, you will always be happy. Now, who can do that entirely? But if I can manage to have lower expectations of them, I mean, there's just all, I mean, and I can sometimes work up an empathy, not always.
Yeah, not always.
Because I'm paying the bills.
Yeah.
But like when I can work up the empathy to think how hard it is for kids of every age right now. I mean,
I know.
It does suck.
It really sucks.
Yeah. And there is, okay, one more thing. There is one other thing that we do together is I got us hooked up, and this is, you'll laugh at this, I think. I got us hooked up with a local group. We make lunches on Sundays for people who can't afford lunch and food.
This is good.
In the pandemic. So it's an activity that we do together.
Yeah.
And we make the lunches and we put them in the paper bags. We deliver them to where we live. It's the Hollywood Food Coalition. And they distribute them. And then your kid gets to say to their friends, oh yeah, I'm making lunches for people who are food insecure. As if they thought of it. As if it was their idea. As if they were paying for it. But it gives them like street cred. Yeah.
Actually, I love that. That is actually a wonderful way to spend some time. Because like we talk on the show a lot about the fact that it's really hard to make decisions now. There aren't really good decisions? Like, even okay, if you make a decision,
I'm
going to
tell you
like,
about a decision.
Woo!
Yeah.
Right.
Here's a decision that we have just made in my house. And when I say we have made, unilaterally. Okay. No, okay. This is going to, it's sad, but it's bittersweet. Okay.
Okay.
So we just lost a pet. Okay.
Wasn't their sister, was it?
Oh, we're a couple cats beyond that. But yeah, we said goodbye to Ezra's sister. So we lost a cat.
Oh.
Something happened to our cat. He just got really sick all of a sudden,
yeah,
and we had to say goodbye to him. And I love that this cat has been my pandemic boyfriend because
yeah,
I'm single. And let me just say, I've spent a little too intimate time with that cat. It's kind of like out of control. So I am bereft. But Ezra's also bereft because this is childhood pet, their childhood mm-hmm pet, right? This is the cat they grew up with. I mean, it's really upsetting. So we had to make this decision, but it was just so hard to... And so I had to decide, okay, mm-hmm, this is what
we sort of
came to a conclusion about that. But then I started looking for kittens. I'm like, I need kittens.
Yeah.
And Ezra has said to me a couple of days ago, because this is all in the last few days, I'm not ready for kittens. And I said, okay, I'll wait. And then I decided, I can't wait.
No.
I need kittens.
You need kittens.
I need kittens.
Yes.
Kitten comfort.
How many kittens are in that house now?
17.
32. What? 32, 17.
No,
give or take. Doesn't matter.
I'm going to go meet some kittens, you know. Like two.
I have three cats in this in this room right now. So,
I've seen them, and I was like, yeah, I'm making – but Ezra said, I'm not ready for them. And I said, okay. And then I came downstairs the next day after we decided that, and I said, I'm overruling you.
Yeah.
I'm getting kittens. And,
yes.
And Ezra, and we're going to have to do another show where we check in about this
because
here's the thing. Ezra said, well, I just want you to know, you can go ahead and get kittens,
but I'm
not going to have any part of that.
I'm going to write down my predictions.
Yes.
And put them in a jar, bury them, and then we'll pull them back out and see.
Yes.
Now, I have to say, get ready for this segue. Buckle up. That sounds like a tiny victory, my friend. So let's talk about the new podcast, Tiny Victories, because it really actually does sound like a tiny victory. To me, that's my idea of a tiny victory. Though, because we have on the show genius and fail moments where people because as a parent, no one really gives a shit what you're doing. Like if your kid slept, like you can't share that with somebody and expect them to be like, that's amazing, right? And if you mm-hmm fail, though, however, everyone will look at you and tell you how horrible you are. So we like to like celebrate those. And then I go listen to Tiny Victories thinking, woo, I'll take more of this. And it's like, it wasn't necessarily like an action, like a victorious win. It was this, your like first episode is about like, what was it like? It was the studying the, it was like an archaeological paleo. Yeah.
It's a rethinking of the cave painting
drawings. Yeah.
And a kind of redemption for human nature. But everything every show is devoted to, it could be something we've heard about or something we've experienced. Like today we just recorded a show about something I thought I would never take pleasure in, but it fits with the tiny victory idea, which is during the pandemic, people have developed hobbies they've gotten really good at. But what I consider a tiny victory, because I'm a real type A person, like when I do something, I have to do it better and I have to make it a thing, is I found things that I suck at, that the world doesn't need, that I'm never going to make money from, but I love doing. Like I call that puttering, because that's lower.
Yeah. Oh, puttering. That's
puttering.
Puttering. She's in there puttering. Yeah, yeah.
Puttering, right?
Puttering. Sorry.
So, like, some people are gardening and making, you know, food supplies.
Yeah.
I am planting things and then accidentally pulling them out thinking they're weeds later. Stuck it. I'm not in any sense gardening.
No, you're puttering.
Gardening. I'm puttering.
You're puttering
in the garden. And it's just, it's a tiny victory for me to do something that I don't have to get better at, that I don't have to be good at, that I'm not going to make money from. So if I can spend like an hour a week and do that, that's for me a tiny victory when I'm not pushing myself. Oh, how great am I? Can I make the best sourdough loaf in my side of town? Can I turn my kitchen into a bakery? Am I launching a business, a pandemic business? I mean, am I winning the pandemic?
Are you winning pandemics? No, yes. You're puttering.
I'm puttering.
Oh, and this sounds like a new podcast right here. Puttering.
Yeah,
puttering with Annabelle.
It's just the idea would have terrified me before. And the whole idea of tiny victories is when this pandemic started, it just seemed like any really, and also, I mean, really, even
all
before
of life.
Then, it just like, it's just gotten harder and harder to like, be like, looking for these huge wins. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the thing that really sustains me are small mercies, and just and appreciating that, you know, I feel like it's a really underserved idea, and it sounds good, but how do you do it? So the idea of the podcast is that Laura and I, my co-host Laura House, we are cultivating this frame of mind where we try to notice these things so that then we can enjoy it, because you know we're also all moving so fast or so slowly. I mean, it works both ways. And not, you're either in like a malaise or a dazed malaise, or you're moving so quickly, you're frenetic. I mean, particularly if you're a parent, it's like so fast. Like, when do you have that moment? And so Pete, we have a tiny victory hotline. And if I can give that number out.
Oh, you give it out and we will load it onto the, the notes so people can call it. Yeah,
it's
give it out.
It's so much fun. And actually, okay, here's a tiny victory hotline. And I want to share a call we just got. I'll tell you what the person said. It was so great. So the number for the tiny victory hotline is 323-285-1675. That's 323-285-1675. And if you call, and you can leave a message, like it's a minute long, because we want to play it on the show, it's only 15 minutes long. We got a call from someone named Theo. Theo said that they were saving up, they're 18 years old, they're listening to our show, they are saving up for a tattoo since they were 15. They finally got the money when they had a car accident and they took the side mirror off the car, and now they have to give the money to their mom and they can't get the tattoo, but they feel good about doing the right thing. And I'm like, oh my God, this is every mom's dream. And this is like, I was like, I just love this time. And they said, you know, and Theo said, and when I do get the money, I'll appreciate it even more because I will have worked for it. So, I mean, I just like, oh my God. And they were taking that time to recognize that they had sort of done something that they felt was the right thing and in their moral code. And they felt it was a victory for their nature. For them at 18 to do that. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Like the added level to that as a listener would be this victory that not all people suck, right? That like, that people are out there and maybe it's okay. Maybe we're okay. Annabelle, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for becoming part of the Max Fun family and the Tiny Victories podcast. If there was ever a podcast that our listeners could easily fall in love with, this would be it. We all got, I mean, they have to sit through like an hour 10 with me, but like 15 minutes is a joy. And we also like to call and leave messages online. So that's good. We look forward to the new book. Let us know when that's coming out. I like that it's coming out the exact time we went into lockdown a year ago today.
I know. It's crazy.
Don't miss out on that publicity.
That's so true. Well, and you know what? We'll be in touch because I'll have to tell you how many days, minutes, hours, seconds Ezra has resisted kitten love.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do like a quick check-in.
Okay.
On next week's podcast. Just like real quick, you know, like just a call, whatever we need to do.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll link everybody up to where they can find out more and they can hear the show. So yay! Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Storyworth. Gathering friends and family for Thanksgiving might be challenging this year, but that doesn't mean we can't feel close with a chance to tell their story and share memories using Storyworth.
Every week, Storyworth will email your family member different story prompts like, how has your life turned out differently than you imagined it? I liked asking my parents question like, who was your first love? Was it each other? I'm just trying to start stuff. But like for real, when you think as a parent, when I think about all the things my children do not know and may never know about me, I'm like, oh, I get it. I don't know. There's probably a lot I don't know about my parents. So Storyworth is a great way to get those conversations going. And after 1 year, Storyworth will compile all of the stories, including pictures, into a beautiful keepsake book that's shipped out for free.
Give your loved ones the gift of spending time together wherever you live with Storyworth. Get started right away with no shipping required by going to storyworth.com/badmother. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/badmother for $10 off. Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Well, genius fail time, everyone. It's my favorite time of the show and the week because I get to lay eyeballs upon the lovely Teresa Thorne.
I'm starting to get so used to how you look on screen.
Ugh.
I feel like it's going to be, no, you look great, but it's like, it's everyone. Everybody looks like slightly fuzzy.
Yeah, fuzzy.
You know? Yeah. So when I see you in real life, I hope I do someday.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, oh yeah, this is what Biz actually looks like.
Do you think we'll be able to recognize each other, or will we have perhaps gone like blind from staring at screens all day?
Yeah, that's a good question. It remains to be seen. We don't know what the results of this pandemic will be.
Something to add to the list of possibilities. Genius me, Teresa.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Okay. So this was something that should have been obvious, but wasn't. But running races on the street in front of the house with my kids. Like, I wouldn't have thought to do this because I'd be like afraid that somebody would leave.
Yeah, or just go out for milk and never come back.
Just start racing and then just keep going.
Just like, what is that, Gump style, Forrest Gump, just never stop running.
Yes, exactly. But we are like at the point now where people are and when I say people, I mean young people, are feeling like more regulated and more like happy to be around home and like more able to follow rules that they couldn't follow before. And this was one of our therapists who had this idea of like, oh yeah, let's go out. You want to run races in front? And I was like, oh God. Oh God. Like,
no.
Like, there's so many things about this that just make me like, can I just not go? Like, I don't want to be a part of this. It's like so stressful to me. I know. And sure enough, it was great. And it's now like a thing that we do, even when the therapist is not around, where like if people are kind of, you know, shifty and like have energy, and it's not like we have like so much time that we could like go on an outing. Right. I can just say like, do you guys want to run races in front? And a lot of times they say yes. And we do like a few races and we have like a distance that we are now, we know where the boundaries are and we know where we like to race to. And it's so great because the kids are running full out. Like they're using all their strength and their energy and they really get their energy out like really well, really fast. So it's been awesome. It's actually been kind of fun also. So, hey, running races.
You are doing a good job running races. That is a really good job.
Thank you.
All right. Just to show you the level of genius of like where I'm at in the world, I could not think of a genius. And then Stefan says to me, I said, Stefan, do you have any geniuses? And there's a big log. What did we do this week? It's a lot of that. And then suddenly he goes, chickpeas. And I was like, chickpeas? He's like, yeah, you've started using chickpeas and everything, and it's delicious. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that. I'm going to take chickpeas as my genius. Guys, I have never really had chickpeas unless they were like in a hummus or like I was out somewhere. Like I didn't grow up in a chickpea house.
Yeah.
And like even in New York salad bar days, I was like, what are those?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
I knew what they were, but I never selected them.
I was like, why would I do that? Yeah. But I'm trying to like make meals out of the cans that we've got everywhere. And like,
You just got cans of chickpeas everywhere.
Those
cans are just everywhere.
One mistake at the grocery store. I have learned how to cook things with some chickpeas, and they were delicious.
That's so cool.
I feel good.
Like this is more this is a real genius because it's trying something different.
I tried something different.
Yeah.
And I mean, no one else in this fucking house will try anything different, but I did, and it was chickpea delicious. So
great.
Chickpeas, everybody.
Chickpeas. Good job, Biz.
I think that I have a genius. I have two highly musical children because their father is a musical adult person. And so we don't get our children fake instruments, like kid instruments. We get them real, like a real keyboard and a real microphone. And my kids have trouble listening in the morning time. But just now, I asked them a question into the microphone with a real microphone with it turned on. So my voice is loud. And I said, just so you know, if you need me, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. And then they responded the first time. The first time I asked them a question, they responded and said, yes. And they never do that. Like it usually takes me 3 or 4 times. And they responded the first time. So I'm using that microphone anytime I need them to cut it out and do what I'm asking them to do.
Yeah.
We'll see if this continues. It probably won't. But for now, it's a genius. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
You are a genius. I got to tell you, the first thing that comes to my mind is how you worded it. They are musical. And their father is musical.
Uh-huh.
It insinuates that you are not musical. Like, like to me, it's like there's definitely a narrative being told here about what's in the house. And I love that you embraced the microphone.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you're like, I can do this too. I can use it for what I need to use it for.
Yeah. Watch me take your love of music and twist it into hardcore parenting rock and roll.
I also think that, like, the idea that it will stop working, while there's some truth to that, I also think you've just opened the door mm-hmm. to a whole realm of new possibilities. I mean, could just do a quick, you know, just set. Play something really quick on the keyboard. Uh-huh. Like, it doesn't even have to be an actual song, but just use music to get their attention.
Maybe you're a stand-up. Maybe you could try out all kind of new material on your children when they need to cut it out. Right? Yeah. Like, you could try, like, they could be not listening and you could be like, and they'll be like, what is that? And you'll be like, I don't know. I didn't hear anything. I think you've got a lot of play happening with this mic.
Yeah, it's great.
You are doing a great job.
Good job.
Failures.
Fail, 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 fail.
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
Okay, so we have talked in the recent past about the snacking
that's
taking place during the screen, the school, Zoom, whatever.
Whatever
any
it
amount.
Is.
Actually, it's not even the screen, really, with Oscar. It's any time he's doing schoolwork or supposed mm-hmm. to be doing schoolwork, he needs to have like 100 snacks right in front of him. And so it's really out of control. And I had the idea of gum. And was like, gum is great because maybe it'll, like, I've heard that, like, it can actually help people focus.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll, like, give him something to do. And he really likes gum, so it's, like, a special treat. So I bought just, like, a big thing of gum, like, the kind that I know that they like.
Amounts of gum?
I bought like one of those packs.
Multiple.
Yeah, it's got like, it probably had like 9 packs of gum in it or something. And I was too depleted to like be in charge of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think I just like wanted it to work and didn't want to think about it. And so I just like put it out.
Yeah. Like chicken feed, but yeah, like with gum.
Like, I just let anyone have gum that wanted gum in their rooms. Mm-hmm. They could have their own stash. They had it. There was like some in the kitchen. There's some on their desk. There's some in like under their pillow.
Sure.
Like there was just so much gum. And I was like, they're going to be able to handle this, right? Like, because I was thinking like, worst case scenario, they're chewing it whenever they're doing schoolwork, but or not eating. But they're, it's like one at a time, right?
That's the worst case scenario.
Well, it's so I just was not thinking.
Sure.
This is why this is a fail. I was not thinking it through. I was like, this will be fine. What ended up happening was they became power crazed by all the gum that they had access to. And they started chewing many pieces of gum at a time.
Yeah.
Like, they quote unquote discovered that they actually like 4 pieces at a time way better than 1 at a time. And so there was just gum, like, and the gum wrappers were just everywhere. And just everybody was just eating, chewing all this gum just nonstop. And we just went through the gum. I mean, it was out of control. And as I was seeing it happening, I was too tired to, like, rein it back in. I was just like, well, this will play out and I just won't buy more.
Well, that's a little genius nugget hidden in the midst of all of that. I like the idea that your kids were discovering things about themselves. They're like budding scientists.
Right.
Learning all about themselves.
Yeah. They were really excited to share that insight with me.
Yeah, that. I also just like how much fucking gum is all over the house.
Yes.
You're doing a horrible job trying to solve a problem. Yeah. It really is the, because this is where I am as well. It's the like, somebody's going to ask me something and I'm going to say yes, or I'm going to suggest a thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to follow up or put any of the energy that needs to happen to help it work.
Yeah.
And then that just spirals out into something much larger.
Yes.
That I would then have to deal with.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know how I like a schedule? And we're a schedule family. I mean, it's everybody who listens to the show knows this. We have the kids as babies. They thrived on schedule as, you know, toddlers thrived on. We got sleeping schedules and bedtime. We like a schedule. And scheduling during the pandemic has been very important, right? For everybody's sanity.
Yes.
And the thing that we have not been scheduling at all is any sort of regular hygiene for the kids. Now, I've said often, we just don't wash Elish's hair. He just hates it. And they hate it. And we rarely do it. I just keep cutting it more and more.
Yeah.
But Kat's older now.
Yeah.
Kat used to like to shower every day if they could.
Yeah.
And now it's like once a week.
Yeah.
And that's not
it's not
good.
Enough, probably.
That's not good enough. It's not good enough. And I mean, that's just part of the scheduling things. There's also a lot of this happening in the middle of the day. Kat, how you doing on your schoolwork? Great. Got anything outstanding? Just a little math. Okay, great. I'm going to do it. Okay, great. Then 9 o'clock rolls around. Yeah. I've got 3 pages of math and I'm a failure. And I, but we do have movie nights scheduled and we have when the kids can play the Switch. Scheduled. So I'm doing great, guys.
You're doing okay.
It's all right.
It's okay.
Everything's upside down in the pandemic.
Hello, bad mothers. So this started as a genius. I put the kids in front of the TV because hello, quarantine. I got coffee. I bought donuts yesterday. Put one on my coffee. It's a chocolate sprinkle one. Delicious. Sitting outside, throwing the ball for the dogs, enjoying one of the last good days of fall in my state. And eating my donut, you know, the frosting is falling off on my lap, and it's delicious, and throwing the ball for the dogs. And I look down at my lap, and I've finished the donut, and I look down, and there's some chocolate just sitting in my lap, and I put it in my mouth, and it is not chocolate. It is dirt. From throwing the ball for the dogs. So the rest is a genius. So this is a fail. I guess it was a tricky fail. It was one of those moments where I put the dirt in my mouth and thought, this is right. Well, you guys are doing a horrible job. And in the way that you're actually doing amazing. And I hope you didn't eat dirt today. Like I said, have a good day. Bye.
The question really is, we're not sure if we've eaten dirt today.
It's
that's the question I think we all have to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or better yet.
Or just how much.
I was going to say avoid asking ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
There comes a point where does it help knowing?
No.
I don't know if it does. I really liked your fail. Yeah. Because it was that acceptance of, like, I've done that, right? Yeah, like, you put it, like, I've done it with the cat food, not on purpose, but, like, I clean something, you know, like, you're cleaning at the same time, and then, like, maybe you touched it, but, like, whatever, and you're not really paying attention, and you're fucking tired, and then, it touches your mouth, it's, like, in there, and you're like, like, did anybody see it? Does anybody care? Is really the question. Yeah. The answer is no. Will anybody be impressed by this story? No. and then you're like, well, what do I do? Just go on. Move on.
Yeah. I really liked your acceptance about the dirt.
I liked how
you were just accepting that, like, things fall apart. Like, you still had those genius things. You had the coffee. You had the donut. You were throwing the ball. I mean, all those things still happened. And it just happened to end with a mouthful of dirt.
Yeah, as most things do.
Yeah.
Also, thanks for telling us we're doing a bad job. That's very validating.
I know,
thank
I
you.
Like that.
Yeah. I liked it too. Well, you also are doing a horrible job.
Yep.
We'll teach you the handshake later.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you, I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Billy. Self-care and routine are more important than ever. Whatever you're using to get ready for the day should make you feel amazing.
Meet Billy. When you want an extra smooth shave, use Billy. Just the other day, I had someone very close to me text me and say, "Do you really use Billy? Is it any good?" She listens to the show, and I am so pleased that I could say, I actually do use Billy, and it actually is worth it. When I do find the time to shave my legs, it gives me the smooth, I don't have to go two or three times over the same place, and trust me, I'm giving that razor a workout.
Plus, their new limited edition bundles make the perfect gift and come wrapped and ready. So go to mybilly.com/mother. It's just $9 to get your starter kit plus free shipping always. Go to mybilly.com/mother. That's spelled mybillie.com/mother.
Congratulations, you've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely,
so.
You cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave!
I can remember as a child thinking it was odd that here was this can full of meat.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week on my show Bullseye, David Letterman on shame, regret, and canned hams.
Is this the best delivery version of pork?
That's this week on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Guys, it's time to cuddle up close to Teresa, or whatever Teresa substitute you might have nearby. And let's listen to a mom have a breakdown.
I was going to say this is a rant, and I think it's actually more of a mom having a breakdown. I just feel like I can't talk to anyone about this shit because everybody has their own problems. I can't put any more on my husband. He's already doing so much. Like, everyone else has all of their own shit going on, and it feels like too much to pile it on. And just, like, we're both professors working from home mostly, but not all the way at home. 2-year-old and 4-year-old not in childcare because of, you know, a pandemic and, like, a kid with a heart defect and me with, like, asthma and a bunch of shit, and it just... There's just all of that, and then also, like, I just want 10 minutes where there's not a small child tugging at me or screaming at me or whining at me or, like, a dog.
The call got cut off.
Yeah.
But we understand.
Yeah. You said it. You could have said more, but yeah. We got it. We yeah. got it.
Oh, loud and clear.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, you're doing a great job.
Yes, you are.
Okay. You know what's funny about the pandemic? Nothing, but I'm going to say it in a quippy sort of way. What's funny about the pandemic is it is almost impossible to try and explain why it's hard and put any order to,
yes.
Like, it used to be, we would have people call, and they'd be like, I don't feel good, and this is really sad, and everything's upsetting, and then, like, right before they hang up, they're like, my father died. And I'm like, wow, you could have led with You could have led with that, and that would. But now there is no good one to lead with. There's incredible stress at work. I don't know where that would come on the list. It's enough on its own. You've got very young children in your house that you also that like they can't do stuff on their own. That's not how old they are. That is also a thing. One of them has heart issues in the middle of a pandemic. That's enough. You have asthma in the middle of a pandemic that attacks the lungs. That is enough. Those are all enough. And then
I mean, it starts right with the pandemic. Like the fact of the pandemic for all of us is where it starts, right? Like that is enough to call in about. Like the anxiety is there because of that already.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of these layers.
Right.
Above and beyond just the regular parenting layers.
Which the
parenting
layer. And
like marriage layers. And like. Yeah.
Which were in their own right enough of a reason to call in.
Yeah.
Because it's too much.
Yeah.
And the question that really stands out to me is the one of, basically, where am I supposed to put my stuff?
Yeah.
Right? Where am I supposed to put my emotional stuff?
Yes.
Because this is, I think, a really easy place to be, like, in our own minds of, it's so much. I don't know how I'm supposed to get through this. I know that probably sharing would help, but I'm also keenly aware of how difficult everybody is having a go at it right now. So I should probably sit on it, which then, as the queen of sitting on things and shitting diamonds all day long, it doesn't, that doesn't help.
Get better. Yeah.
It doesn't get better.
Yeah.
And that it's a really good question that we're all stuck with right now. Yeah. Where am I supposed to put this? And I don't necessarily, Teresa, do you know where I can put it?
Well, I actually have something to add to what you're saying, because I think part of it is like, oh, my husband has so much going on too. I don't want to like burden him, or whoever you would normally go to. All of these people have their own shit. I think part of it is us being aware of not wanting to add to other people's stuff. But I think the other part is when we're feeling so much and we're so sensitive and emotions and anxieties are running so high, we don't want to open up about how we're feeling unless it's to somebody that we know is going to be able to receive that in a way and respond in a way that will make us actually feel better. And like when I look at the people around me who are my support system, I know they love me. I know they have my back. I know they deeply care about what's going on with me. But I don't necessarily know that like if my like, you know, if a friend comes to me saying they have such and such going on, I'm taking a deep breath and saying, like, what can I say here? Because I can't take this on right now. I can't really be their person because I don't have somebody doing that for me. Like, I'm not okay either.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really delicate, I think.
It is delicate, but that makes me wonder, like, is there room for both people to be able to state what their boundary is in that situation, right?
Yeah, like I think
like
so.
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I know that. Like if I came to you, even though knowing all that's happening, and that you got a load on you, that like if I came, I could say I need to unload somewhere, to somebody who understands me.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't need anything.
Yeah.
Right. And you can say, I have the space to listen. I can't give you anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like that could be a helpful way to do it.
I think so. Yeah.
Because the thing that we should avoid is assuming no one can take
it. Can't. Yeah.
That you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the danger lies. So
no, I think it's true. I think this is a real thing that's holding a lot of us back, is that we don't feel safe sharing, and we don't we're worried about burdening those that we love. So like, if we're all feeling that way, I totally agree with you, Biz. Like, we can all help each other by saying, like, yeah, I'm a wreck, but I want to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Like I'm here for you. I might, yeah, like yeah, I'm here for you
we
now.
Just
yeah,
need to hear that said, like that opening.
Yeah,
to others, right?
Totally.
So, look, you are doing a good job.
Yeah, you are.
The hotline can handle anything.
Yep.
It can hold all the stress. It can hold all the rants. So mm-hmm. you can always call and use it. You're not alone. And, you know, you really are doing a good job in incredibly impossible circumstances. And everything you're feeling is completely valid.
Yes. All of that is true.
Teresa, it's so nice to see you. Teresa, thank you for coming and doing Genius and Fails with me and doing rants. I think you're wonderful. And I hope you have a really good week. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Biz. I think that you're doing a really good... Sorry. Biz. Thank you for everything that you're doing and for being my friend. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, yes. Guys, what did we learn today? We learned, as always, the importance of celebrating the small things, the little moments, the little geniuses, and the tiny victories. We need it. We need it now. More than ever, because it actually is really easy to get stuck just seeing some of the bad. I was talking to my therapist today, and I was telling her that Kat recently was struggling with math, and then somehow that spiraled into this whole narrative about not being good at anything. And I was so reminded of the fact that like how one incident that we are struggling with, like one thing we find ourselves pushing against, can open the door for that narrative to come in that, you know, I forgot to, you know, get such and such at the store. I'm so forgetful. And then the narrative leads to, I don't even understand why people want to hang out with me, right? Like it goes fast. It's the positive narrative is like trying to get up a hill sometimes, while the negative one just like snowballs down the hill as fast as it can. And so that is why we really should be celebrating those little moments, and not, I don't mean like in a Hallmark-y kind of way. I mean like, yes, I am going to build on this. This was good. Right? Like I did this, or I saw this, and that was good. Now, what can I add to that narrative that is good about me and those around me? So, you know, that was just really fun talking to Annabelle. I just felt like I was a person again, talking to somebody. We also learned that it's all right to have something hiding in your pantry that you haven't used. And in fact, you don't ever have to fucking use it if you don't want to. Guys, we are still in the middle of a pandemic. I feel like 3 months ago, it was very easy to say how weird it is to feel like caught between things feeling normal, but you know that nothing's normal. And 9 months in, that feeling's even weirder. Like hearing the numbers every day go up of cases in the country and knowing what that looks like knowing that that is not good, and that hospitals are filling up, and that people are really sick. And yet, at the same time, it's back to that, like, I'm in my house and looking out my window, and everything looks lovely. Things aren't that bad. Like, this is a real mind fuck. And maybe kids are in school, maybe they're not. Maybe things are opening up where you live, or maybe things are about to get closed back down and winter's coming. Look, guys, it's just a time that we need to get prepared for. We need to start collecting those tiny victories and those genius moments like nuts. Like, no, we're like squirrels stuffing our faces, our cheek pouches with nuts for the winter, right? And just really try to remember that you're doing a good job. You're doing a remarkable job. There is so much that you are trying to balance right now. And it's hard. And it's, you know, sometimes lonely and isolating. And sometimes it feels like no one gives a shit. But that's not true. I give a shit. Teresa gives a shit. And your fellow One Bad parents give a shit. And probably more people than you know give a shit. So let's start really, really clinging to those tiny moments. Let's start working really hard on the better narrative for ourselves. And let's just remember to be nice to each other and to ourselves because you deserve it. You know, you don't have to do it all by yourself. I see you. You are amazing. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, our producer, Gabe Mara, our husbands, Stephen Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org/OneBadMother. For information about live shows, our book, and press, please check out OneBadMotherPodcast.com.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Well, Daddy, baby, bussin' by, got low down mama blues. Oh, said Daddy, baby, bussin' by, got low down mama blues.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.